The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a big Monday edition, back to work for you, little buddy. Welcome to it.
Hey, Kroot, you got to get used to this work thing. I like that kind of retirement. I mean, holiday time. It was fantastic, but it's good to be back. Lots of things going on in the news. You know, just because you shut your eyes doesn't mean the world doesn't keep spinning. And of course, you can join us on the lines as well. Rich will slightly screen your calls, 844-967-2789.
Well, Dom, since you've been gone, I went to a Joe Biden rally in Madison, and Joe Biden was vigorous and he was defiant. And he said, I ain't dropping out. And then he did the Stephanopoulos interview, and a few on the text line pointed out already, they're already joining us at 844-967-2789. The Stephanopoulos interview was a hatchet job. It was one question, and it was basically Stephanopoulos asking Joe over and over again, do you know how old you are, sir? Or some variant thereof. Now, one of the shrewd texters said, you know, and Joe kept answering with his policy successes. So, you know, who won that conversation? Maybe it shone a light on the information that Joe wanted to put out there. Maybe he won that interview. Didn't feel that way to me, texter, I'm just saying.
No, I'm just, all right.
It definitely seemed like that George Stephanopoulos came to the interview with an agenda. He wanted to knock the man down. He wanted him to make an admission or to take a cognitive test or, you know, start crying, Barbara Walters style. I'm not sure exactly what George was hoping to accomplish, but you certainly couldn't call it a friendly interview. Didn't come off as friendly whatsoever. There's no friendliness there.
So I read the transcript because I did not, you know, watch the actual interview. And as mentioned, lots and lots and lots of different ways to ask the same question. But he did, Stephanopoulos did, you know, ask about, like, I think it was Mark Warner and some other Dems that have, you know, come out and said perhaps, you know, Biden should step down. I mean, if that's not, what else is there to talk about? You know what I mean? I hear what you're saying, Kroot, and you can certainly, and we've been, I've been guilty perhaps of asking the same question over and over and over and over again. But that is it is the question of the moment.
And it's a crucial week for Joe Biden. And the morning started with the call in to the Morning Joe. And, you know, it was pointed out that Trump used to call into Morning Joe with some frequency during the 2016 campaign. And Mika today said, Joe, call us more often. As President Joe Biden, you know, sort of followed that prior example. And maybe this was planned, or maybe this was impromptu, but Rich has done the hard work, and we've got some of the sound of the interview, or the call-in, and you can always call in, 844-967-2789. But this was President Joe Biden on the Morning Joe with Scarborough and Mika this morning. Play for the people, Rich.
I'm getting so frustrated by the elites. Now, I'm not talking about you guys, but about the elites in the party who they know so much more. But if any of these guys don't think I should run against me, go ahead, announce the president. Challenge me at the convention.
Those are not the words of someone who's going to be contrite and perhaps step down, at least not today. So the elites, is he talking about the funders, like his you know, billionaire donors? What is he talking about?
There have been a number of donors that have more publicly come out and said Joe Biden should step down. You know, esteemed statesman.
Yeah, but you cast your check, man. You're going to be, I mean, come on. Oh, I'm critical of the elites, but I'll take your money.
Well, he's still taking the money. He's still trying to run a presidential campaign. Obviously, Dom, I don't know if you heard him speak in Madison on Friday, but he's in it to win it. He's defiant. And he called in Morning Joe. And let's just play more of the sound, and then I'll give you my impressions. Rich, all right. Keep her going.
I'm not going to explain any more about what I should or shouldn't do. I am running.
I'm running. Okay, keep playing it.
They're wrong in 2020. They're wrong in 2022 about the red wave. They're wrong in 2024. And come out with me. Watch people react. You make a judgment.
So
yeah, when you're like that, not having a bad episode or a bad night or coming off of a 10-11 day trip to Europe and whatever way the stars and sun lined up to make you have that performance that you did. Keep doing that, Joe. Yeah, you're fine. We got some more from this, right? Cut four. One more. Let's do the last one, please, Rich.
I am not going anywhere. I wouldn't be running if I didn't absolutely believe that I am the best candidate to beat Donald Trump in 2024.
Well, he believes it. I believe that he believes it.
Is there more Joe sound from the Scarborough? That's it. Okay, quick headline and then perhaps your calls. 844-967-2789. I've already been checking the text line down there. Lighten it up. Nate Silver, now he's the pollster, right? The 538.com guy. Nate Silver calls for Biden to resign after incoherent comments in the ABC interview. This was the Friday night interview. That was before the MS, you know, they're already calling it at the RNC, the MSDNC interview that Biden did with Scarborough this morning. But here is what pollster Nate Silver said on Friday. The founder of ABC's 538 called for President Biden to withdraw from the 2024 White House race after making what he describes as incoherent comments in his first post-debate interview Friday. First non-scripted post-debate interview, apparently, Dom. Earlier Friday, Silver wrote a column about whether a model could appropriately determine Biden's chances of winning the election, as voters remain skeptical of his abilities more than a week after his poor debate performance. Silver, who viewed Biden's interview with ABC anchor George Stephanopoulos before it aired publicly Friday evening, posted to social media platform X, Twitter, with a change of tune. Here's his statement. This is a pretty incoherent answer, including a non sequitur complaining about a New York Times poll, which he, Biden, incorrectly claims had him down 10 points before the debate. Silver wrote on Twitter, sharing a clip of the interview. He added that the New York Times survey only had Biden down 3 or 4 points. He writes on Twitter again, I wimped out in today's column and deleted a line saying he should formulate a plan to transition the presidency to Vice President Harris within 30 to 60 days. But I'm there now. Something is clearly wrong here. Now it says he grows a growing list of people calling on the president to preserve his legacy by stepping aside and allowing someone new to take on the former President Trump this November. The most generous way to put this is he doesn't seem in command. And that's an extremely hard sell when you are commander-in-chief. The pollster shared a statistic that said 57% of people believe Biden will drop out. That's the hard part to overcome. The fact that that's all anyone is talking about more than a week later, that means he hasn't quenched this. He's calling up Morning Joe this morning saying, let me tell you why. Challenge me at the convention.
Morning Joe this morning. And, you know, and Donald Trump, you know, kind of out of the limelight for a moment, because why would Trump poke his head up? Of course, he's a narcissist. It probably kills him not to. But, you know, Joe's dealing with lots of things that Joe has to deal with right now. But, again, going back and listening to the responses from the former president, does Nate Silver think that Donald Trump has a command of the issues, that Donald Trump is a good commander in chief? Is Nate Silver calling for Donald Trump to withdraw from the race? You know, the rapist fraudster guy? Because, while certainly that debate didn't go well at all for Joe, I mean, it went pretty bad for Biden, too. It's just that, I'm sorry, for Trump, too, it's just that Biden had a worse debate. I mean, Donald Trump was terrible in that debate. Terrible. I mean, listen to it.
But I can't get beyond the historically worst debate performance ever.
I know.
Put up by a presidential candidate in the history of our nation, Dom. It's a little hard to get beyond Joe. I'm sorry. We're not talking about Trump's lying, are we? And if Joe Biden can't.
Trump had his own mental faults and issues during that debate. They're just overshadowed. So my point being is, I get it, man. Yes, Trump had a better debate than Biden. No, Biden had a worse debate than Trump. Trump had a terrible debate, too. Biden had an awful debate, right? So, but if you look at what Trump said and what Trump did, not just the lies, the conversation. Come on, man. This is a guy who talks about sharks and batteries and electrocution and why he's the snake. I mean, this guy, Donald Trump, has his own serious mental issues. So if that's going to be the gauge, shouldn't there also be at least some acknowledgement, analysis of conversation of what the other guy was doing and saying? I think there should be. Nate Silver
went on to say less than a week ago, the pollster predicted Biden's polls would get worse following the debate debacle. The incumbent pushed back on Stephanopoulos's remarks, that'd be Joe Biden, that his approval rating was below 36%. Silver said the polls were the least of Biden's worries at this point. At this point, it's only like their fourth most important problem, he wrote Friday evening on the Twitter, adding, the fact that the White House has drunk the Kool-Aid on the poll denialism stuff all cycle long isn't helping matters. Have we noticed the flipped role of these two candidates? Now Joe Biden denies the polls are accurate. Fake polls. Why don't you call them fake, Joe?
How did Nate Silver do in 2016?
I don't know. Did he pick Biden? I mean, Trump, pardon me? Or did he pick Hillary? We've been trying to sort out. Yeah, every time Trump is in a race, not other candidates, not the midterms, when Trump's on the ballot, he outperforms the polling. And right now, Joe's trailing. Come back. Never trail behind your friends. Always have the headlines first. Listen to the Devil's Advocates. And then offer your hot takes at 844-967-2789. It's a phone number, it's a text line. It's super cool, just use it.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you play along the political party line, 844-967-2789.
And if you can't get enough Donald Trump, he'll be doing a pre-recorded sit-down with Sean Hannity, Friendly Turf, and it will play out on the Foxy News tonight. I believe that's 8 o'clock Central. Hate to miss that one.
Yeah, man.
I'm sure Sean Hannity will ask Trump for the good of the nation. When was the last cognitive test you've taken, sir? And aren't you quite old?
Right. Trump took many, many cognitive tests, right? I took two. Why are they giving them to you, man?
844-967-2789. Kurt from Madison. Welcome, Kurt. What do you got for us?
Hey, Kurt.
Truck. Car, woman, man, camera. Okay, when they announced the debate, I immediately said that is the dumbest thing Biden could ever do. And for good reason. We're living the dream now, right? Second comment is, Dom knows what I said to him when I walked out of the theater after 15 minutes of that interview or that debate. But I've had time to sit back and digest. I've spent my time watching news clips on YouTube because you know, you can only watch so many channels simultaneously in the live hour. But, right. You know, they say that, you know, you gotta go with the hand you're dealt. Well, no, it's not just the hand we're dealt. We picked this hand. So as far as I'm concerned, Biden's pick is just fine with me. Do I buy into the hysteria that everybody's drumming up here? No, I don't buy into it. And for a final comment, if we are that concerned about Biden's mental acuity, given that 90-minute debate or whatever he said in an interview, if we're so hyper concerned about that, then we should need to be scared to death with the idiot he's running against, because the guy is a psychopath and he's stupid. I mean, that's the really scary thing.
Kurt, have you ever seen your...
Stop letting the media... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Kurt, have you ever seen your grandma naked?
You're cruel.
Have you? If you have, never. It's a experience you will never forget. No.
Well...
Here's my point, Kurt. You were at the debate watch party at the Barrymore that night. You saw Joe Biden. Even the faithful were shaken that night, Kurt. How do you overcome those first coming to the party and trying to make up their mind about this candidate? How is he going to overcome that, Kurt?
Hang on. You think people are trying to make up their mind about Biden at the Barrymore that night in Madison, dude?
I don't think people are making up. I think it was a pass fail, and he failed. I've said this.
I know you're saying that. Do you think anybody walked out of that place? Kurt, I'll ask you the question. You're walking out of there. I'm assuming you were as disappointed as I was. You're going to vote for Biden if he's on the ticket?
Whether he's dead or alive, I'll vote for him.
That is not an encouraging statement, gentlemen.
That's a point, though, Kurt. People weren't making up their minds. I'm sorry, Kurt. Hang on. People were not making up their minds at the Barrymore, man. That was not what was happening.
I think might have had a negative reaction, like seeing grandma naked. That's why I asked you, Kurt. For the first time, it's terrifying. I'm telling you, it's a life-changing event.
You get used to it, Kurt. You know, after a while, it's like, it's just grandma. You get used to it. You know, it's the initial shock. After a while, it kind of wears off, Kurt.
Well, let me answer his question about the grandma. And for a guy who's in the military like I was, you know damn well you keep your partner's back no matter what. No matter what. That's how we were trained. That's what we believe in.
Sure.
And that's what I'm going to go with as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, Kurt, but what if your battle buddy, what if your battle buddy starts, you know, acting very bizarrely and wanders off at night during the heat of battle, or perhaps... cognitively doesn't seem like he's there with you in the foxhole, Kurt. Do you seek out
now you're just simply doing a what if statement, and we could do this forever. That doesn't do anything.
Well, only really till about 6 o'clock, then they're going to move us out of here. I get your point, Kurt.
There's a couple of interviews. So stop letting the media out there tell everybody the guy's off his rocker and he's dead man walking. It's nuts. Democrats keep shooting themselves in the foot. Stop it. No more.
I cannot consent to what you're telling me to do, because you can't make me stop talking about what is relevant to the American people, the vast majority of the American people. We know how serious this is. And I'm telling you, if Joe Biden is the answer, if Joe won't step aside, I didn't say I wouldn't vote for the man.
Right.
But I don't think he's going to win the race. I don't think there are enough American people that will set aside the naked grandma image, because unlike your family, Tom, they don't want to be desensitized to naked grandma.
Come on. You just got to get over it, man. You just got to get over it. 844-967-2789. Do we have time for more callers?
Yeah, sure. Let's take Annie.
Annie. From Watertown. Annie, you are up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, Annie.
I guess I got to be thankful for you guys, because I don't, you know, I've been really tired of public radio being so, I mean, they bend over backwards to be anti-liberal, you know. So for the last few years, it's been nice not having something else to listen to on the radio. Otherwise, I'd throw the radio out, I guess. But listening to the radio all day Saturday on public radio where I was, every hour they played that the top of the news was Stephanopoulos's interview with poor old cognitively impaired Biden. And they played the one part. I had to see it. And you know what? They picked like one part where he stumbled, you know, and the guy's not a speaker. I mean, we know that. And he stumbles with words. That's always been the way. But they picked out the one thing, and they played that every hour on the hour for their public radio news. I was just so. And what about Grandpa? Why Grandma?
That's right, Annie. Great point.
Have you ever seen your grandpa naked? Have you ever seen your grandpa naked, Annie?
No, they were dead by the time I would have been impressed by that.
Well, thank goodness.
Thank you, Annie.
Appreciate your candor. It could also be a naked grandpa. In fact, let's use the proper analogy. It's like seeing your grandpa naked.
Have you seen a picture of your grandpa naked?
Is it in your phone?
We are the Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789.
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a big Monday edition. Grandpa might get naked, and you're not going to like it.
But in time, you'll get used to it.
I hope I never get used to and desensitized to naked grandpa. We want to turn our attention soon to the 2025 project. A lot of people asking us to, you know, Google it, look it up. Donald Trump's out there claiming, I don't know anything about it. It's got nothing to do with me.
I mean, talk to this guy, Donald Trump. I mean, come on, his cognitive issues, his malfeasance, his problems. Man, we need to talk more about that. There's the true danger.
Well, Dom, I would call that more of a political triangulation. It's kind of harsh, that Project 2025. So I'd like to get to that in the 5 o'clock hour. And also, a fine guest, John Nichols from the Cap Times, from the Nation. He joins us in the happy hour. But right now, Jennifer Rubin, formerly described as a conservative columnist, now just columnist over at the Washington Post. And the question, Dom, and I've been asking myself this question since the first Joe Biden debate answer on that Thursday night, and that's been a week and a half. What did the Democrats do now? As Rubin's subheadline points out, one interview will not suffice to get President Biden out of the predicament he's in. Yeah, how does he get out? President Biden faces a dilemma. As bad as his debate performance may have been, his inadequate efforts to respond to the fallout have only deepened anxiety amongst Democratic officials, operatives, donors, and Crudy. Tepid outings in controlled settings provoked even more hysterical news coverage, suggesting falsely he is barely functioning. That overreaction in turn causes him to double down on insisting nothing is amiss. And as she writes in parentheticals, also false. This doom feedback loop emerged in his highly anticipated interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos and in his reaction among the congressional Democrats, high-level Democratic operatives, and veterans of Democratic White Houses. Inevitably, Biden's defensive answers and bullheadedness only increase media harping and Democrats' depression. There was simply no way to get certain answers right, air quotes. Pundits ridiculed him for denying he is frail, but what would have been a better answer? Yes, I'm frail, but frail people can be good presidents? ? A defiant Biden refused to accept public poll numbers, would not acknowledge quiet entreaties from elected Democrats, dismissed speculation about dissension in Democratic ranks, and could not accept that his achievements as president do not equate to his ability to wage a successful campaign. So Rubin writes, What's next? First, Biden and his team need some media realism. Biden has a point in saying nothing he could do would satisfy outlets determined to prove him unfit. Sure, Democrats are justified in taking the media to task for refusing to call for a felon to get out of the race and failing to explore Donald Trump's mental health. I know, yeah. Dom, you think about it quite a bit. Likewise, Democrats do have grounds to decry lack of serious coverage of the potentially, let's call them, tyrannical powers that Trump would acquire after the Supreme Court immunity case. But that does not end the discussion. Media hysteria and imbalance do not justify Biden staying in the race to prove they're wrong. Biden's debate and post-debate conduct have given the media every justification for focusing solely on him, not on Trump's greater personal defects and menace to democracy. That is a serious impediment, Dom, to re-election.
Rudy, second, Biden would benefit by deciding to release his entire medical record. A letter from his doctor cannot allay concerns about whether he has an underlying medical issue. Let the media paw through records and report if they find any indication of a heretofore hidden neurological issue. If Biden has nothing to hide, he can lay it all out or even make his doctor available for a news conference. Then he can challenge Trump to do the same. In parentheticals, Jennifer Rubin from The Post writes, and Biden would seem more self-aware if he conceded that, like many presidents, he needs to limit his in-office hours. Being a good president does not entail working 60-hour days. Well, hell, if that were the case, Trump would have been the greatest president ever. That guy was golfing all the time. Rubin goes on to write, third, Biden and his pollsters owe Democrats candor. If Biden's pollsters have told him the race is a toss-up, let them explain their results to donors, activists, and members of Congress. If their internal polls show, as do public polls, a decline for Biden since the debate, they need to explain why they think the race is still winnable and set a reasonable framework for assessing improvement. When does the debate dip fade? Question mark. Continuing to deny poll results makes him, his pollsters, and the campaign seem out of touch, further demoralizing Democrats. Fourth, Democrats in elected office need to be much more candid if they think Biden, the party, and the country are heading for disaster. Democrats who want him to bow out must understand that winks, nods, opaque statements, and unsourced complaints are utterly insufficient. Telling Biden one thing in private, then racing to give background quotes expressing their actual views to the media won't cut it. And meekly raising concerns in private only to sound more robust in public results in Biden's favorite defense. They didn't say that in the room, quote unquote. These Democrats cannot bemoan Biden's lack of self-awareness if they hide in the shadows. Good point, Rubin. Fifth, a fit and capable presidential candidate determined to prove he is not feeble and diminished would be out much more frequently in more demanding unscripted settings. His failure to do so cannot be chalked up to bad staff. Democrats are not unreasonable in concluding that he is not doing these things because he cannot. Therefore, Democrats who want to move the process along should lay down some markers. They could, for example, join Rep. James Clyburn and other Democrats in demanding that Biden do town halls, news conferences, and tough interviews on a consistent basis. It was to call Joe Devil's Advocates, giving him a concrete deadline to show he's capable of those tasks, can return to pre-debate polling, could move the situation to a decision point. And sixth, if after a reasonable amount of time, Biden has not done the things needed to show his fitness and has not returned to pre-debate polling, senior Democrats and longtime confidants from Delaware armed with polls need to confront him in private and sadly in public if need be, to ask him to step aside. In sum, Democrats remain where they began before Friday's interview. Biden can be very good at being president, racking up an extraordinary first-term record, and yet not be able to convince the party, his party, of his electability. So far, Biden has failed to relieve Democrats' anxiety that he can win because he has not demonstrated transparency about his health, candor about his polls, or the ability to campaign in demanding settings. Soon, Democrats' patience will expire. However, they cannot hope to compel him to face reality without confrontation. This moment requires unflinching candor. Our democracy may depend on it. Jennifer Rubin writing over at the Washington Post.
We'll get to the phones momentarily, but John Fetterman, senator from Pennsylvania, who had a stroke during the campaign cycle, And yep. I mean, literally went on the debate stage, barely able to comprehend the questions being asked of him. Now, what he said, what Fetterman said over the weekend, because Joe was in Pennsylvania, Joe was out on the campaign trail. Trump was probably on the golf course, I suspect. But Fetterman said effectively, you know, Democrats need to grow a backbone or some other form of testicular strength, need to find some, you know what, some cojones, let's say. And I would say, you know, contrary to Fetterman's advice, I find the Democratic Party to be very timid. Because the right thing to do, if you are concerned, is to tell the truth. I elect these people to tell me the truth, not to tell me what I want to hear. Now, if they are in the inner circle, if they have the opportunity to interact with Joe Biden on a regular, frequent basis, and they can see him off the cuff and not on a teleprompter and not in a campaign rally where it's nothing but friendlies in the crowd, well, I sure want to hear that. But if they have these true concerns, as I do, that he may be beyond the point of reclamation as a candidate for the presidency, they need to start showing the backbone or testicular fortitude to start telling the American public, to start making that case to Joe. Because I assure you, folks, I'm not the only one that feels this way. There are 9 elected Democratic congresspeople that have come out publicly now and said Joe must go. There are senators like Mark Warner from the state of Virginia who may be risking his career, but he doing so in a statesman-like fashion. If he truly believes through his interactions with the president, this man cannot do the job. I expect these elected Democrats to stand up and say, Joe, for the sake of the nation, do the right thing. And if they feel like Joe is the man, then they need to come out and forcefully tell me why they believe Joe is the man. Come support his ass. You know what I mean? Give me something to believe in, because right rumors.
Bernie said it. Fetterman said it. I mean, Baldwin's said it. Didn't show up that day, but you know, I mean, who else?
I'm less clear that Baldwin said it. Fetterman said it, and Bernie said, you know, he is who he is, and he's not leaving. So I'm not thinking that what the 83-year-old Bernie Sanders should be calling another guy out for age. Bernie is a pragmatist. I love me some Bernie, and I don't disagree with you. I know what Bernie is saying.
Right.
So but behind closed doors, Dom, there are hundreds of elected Democrats at the highest levels of government that have real qualms about this president and his ability to carry forth. And they need to step up now, one way or the other. Make a public claim. You're either in Joe's camp and get on board the Joe train, or you need to go and meet with the president publicly or privately and tell him, Joe, you got to go. And I question people like Hakeem Jeffries. You're supposed to be the minority leader. Where do you stand on this issue? I mean, he convened the meeting. The Democrats, the Congress, was meeting over the course of a holiday weekend on a Sunday doing a teleconference. Where do you stand, Leader Jeffries, on this issue? I mean, really? These are the people we need to hear the truth from. And if the vast majority of them think Joe is capable, then I'll keep my mouth closed and I'll hold my nose and I'll vote for Joe because he's certainly better than the other guy. You know what I mean? He's certainly better than the other guy. I would love to move beyond this topic. You know, I said my piece, but if Joe is going to stay in, it's going to be an awfully painful 4 months watching this play out.
844-967-2789. Let's get to some patient callers. Mike from Madison, you are first. Welcome, Mike. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mike.
Well, I just appreciate you guys being open and honest. And I have to say, I love Joe. I think he was a great senator, great vice president, great president. But Trump is an existential threat, and we have to win. And I think this is a huge opportunity for us. Kamala Harris can be a very strong candidate. She can address the double haters. She can change the whole game right now. You know, we can address the age issue. We can do it in a way that Trump can't. We can address the cognitive issue in a way that Trump can't. She's younger. She'll appeal to younger voters, women, people of color. She'll bridge the enthusiasm gap. It's a chance to reset things. Apparently, it's pretty easy to transfer campaign funds to her. He could do what Nate Silver talked about and step aside within 30 to 60 days, and she could run as an incumbent. So those are my thoughts. I'm just glad that we're talking about it. I do hope that the Hakeem Jeffries and other people come forward in the next couple of days and, you know, either do as you say, tell us why Biden should step aside and find a way to do an intervention, or tell the American people why Biden really should continue. And I think Biden really needs to look at this not from a selfish perspective the way Trump would look at it, but from a perspective of what's best for the country and have the integrity to be willing to address these concerns head on.
Mike, appreciate your contribution.
Good call, Mike. Thanks, man.
Chuck in the text line, Michael in the 608, different Mike. Biden by 15%. A WLCX texter says, it's not important to the American people. We want Joe. That's what's for dinner. I heard the Beef Council doing like your child's first bite of beef. I actually thought it was cute, but mostly because I'm a carnivore. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. Join us, 844-967-2789. Political talk, it's what's for dinner.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Go back to the lines and join us. Talk or text 844-967-2789.
Dom, this interesting point observed by a texter, Rich, said to me, good callers today. I said, yeah, so far, CJ's still in the queue, though. So we don't want to wreck our record, CJ. It might be a while. 844-967-2789. But I like to check the text line. Can't always read them all. There's a lot of them there, but I try to read them to myself, and I'm going to share this one. A comment that Biden made during his interview on Friday night that continues to bother me. Stephanopoulos asked Biden if he had watched the debate. At first, Biden said no. Then he said, I don't think I did. Both of these responses are concerning. First, he needs to watch his performance during the debate as part of his process to make a decision about whether he stays in the running or not. He needs to see the visual footage, you know, naked grandpa, if you will, Dom, that's available to run over and over again in negative campaign ads. Second, his comment, I don't think I did, referring to whether he watched the debate or not, is highly concerning to me. How can he not know if he watched the video or not? I suspect he's probably seen short burst clips, either because the campaign wants to run them, they think he had a positive moment or they can run down Trump, or they've brought a few of the worst clips to his attention, but
the lowlights.
I don't know how one says, I don't know if I've seen the video, the game film. I don't know if I watched the game film from last Thursday night or not. Now, I can tell you whether or not I listened to the podcast or not of this show. And I can tell you, you have not, but I often do because it's damn good stuff and you should be a part. 844.
I'm not sure I can tell you what concerts I went to at Summerfest.
844-967-2789. Nobody should rely upon Dominic's memory to lead this nation. Troy from Mount Horeb. Welcome, Troy. What do you got for us?
Hi, Troy.
Hey, you know, we sit here and somebody, I forget who you said it, but somebody said, Clyburn said, if the poll numbers go up and then every day we tell independents Joe Biden's a babbling idiot, when are we going to stop telling people that and move on to the convict and talk about him more than we're talking about Joe Biden screwing up the debate?
Troy, actually, Dom brought to my attention, I believe Bloomberg polling out today had Biden up 3% in the state of Wisconsin. There was another positive poll for Joe. Now, he's not doing well in Pennsylvania, but he was only trailing in Georgia by 1. He was up in Wisconsin. He was up in Michigan. And I actually thought, damn, these are some pretty good Biden polls. What's that, Troy?
I said I was going to say I saw a good poll for Michigan, but then you brought it up. So,
well,
but, you know, I mean, if we keep talking about this, though, we're telling the independents what we quote-unquote think of him. I love the guy, and I hope he stays in. I agree with Fetterman. You know, we need to buck up, and we need to – this is our guy, and there's no easy way of getting out of it. Maggie said that delegates from Wisconsin, Nevada, and Georgia hardly can't be transferred. So, and see, now I'm misspeaking, so I can't be president either.
Troy, appreciate your call. You can be. You just have to be willing to answer unscripted questions. You have to be willing to do town halls and put yourself out there before the American people. And Dom, I started talking about this with the judicial race once upon a time in Wisconsin, the Neubauer-Hagedorn race. And it always bothered me to no end that the consultant class hid the candidate. Well, I can tell you what, if Joe wants to convince the American people, get him out of the basement. Get him out there everywhere. If I want to be the president of the United States, I better be able to go out there and advocate for my positions, my point of view. Here's why you should vote for me. Or, hell, this guy sucks. That other guy, he's terrible. But you better be able to go and make the point. Because if you can't make the point, all of our fears about what Trump could be come to reality. So Joe's either got to be better, do town halls, demonstrate this acumen that he hasn't demonstrated up until now, not recently at least. Or if they can't put him out there in those circumstances, that just speaks to the fact, have they been protecting this man the whole time? You can't just be president between 10 and 4. Although I know Trump tried. Or like noon and 4.
2789. We'll squeeze in Jake from the MKE. Welcome, Jake. What do you got?
Yeah, I think I'm going to vote for Trump now. I think Cody totally convinced me to vote for Trump. He's obviously smarter in order to get away with all those crimes. You know, you remember before when Biden went on, the narrative has been he's too old. That's been a narrative from the beginning. Okay, the right-wingers were waiting for something like this to happen because they were ready for it. Because, you know, you're at that age, you're going to have issues. You are. It's just what it is. I have issues myself. I mean, if I was to take, like, one of Crudy's, like, really bad readings of an article and be like, hey, Crudy must be illiterate, right?
So true, yeah. But please continue.
So, Crudy, I would hate to be next to you if I was Dom. If I hurt myself, you'd just backstab him right away. Or, I mean, I'm seriously, Crute, you are just doing the right wing's work right now, and it's sad. Sorry, man.
I'm doing the God's work. If the God Almighty's got to come down and tell Joe it's time to step down, then somebody's got to step up. If they ever ask you if you're a God, you say yes.
Yes.
Joe, it's God calling. Maybe it's time to step aside. Or maybe Crudy's just illiterate and can't read aloud on the radio. We'll find out.
Maybe it's both.
And a happier happy hour. Stick around.